back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive reminding you, set us on your dial at AM 1570 if you haven't. After 25 years, you're going to be celebrating 25 years. I'm wearing my Costas shirt. I had my Pappas shirt on earlier. We're going to be at Costas on August the 3rd. August the 3rd is our 25th anniversary. We're going to be broadcasting, giving away Maryland Lottery tickets, some instant scratch. Also, we're going to be at Spirits West this week over Wilkins Avenue as well. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free and 0% financing for 2 years if you purchase now. I've been watching baseball. Luke's going to be at the ballpark all weekend doing Mariner stuff. If you've been listening, it's not because I'm bored or because I'm a media prick. It's because the state is about to give John Angelos and the Angelos family and the next ownership group and the value billions of dollars into perpetuity. They're like 30 years into this. I talked about this at length last week, and it sort of opened an old wound about media coverage, accountability, billionaires. We talked about the Saudi prince and golf last week with John Feinstein. Talked this week with Bill Cole. Mike Rosenfeld from Web Connection is our chief digital officer here, and he's also a poop stirrer. Dude, you got me started before I went on vacation on this where is the baseball stadium lease thing, and it's gotten me churning, and I'm talking more about it now. And then you went out to Chicago Orioles over the weekend. They only picked up one out of the three in Chicago. I haven't been to Wrigley since Pearl Jam 17, maybe. So it's been a couple of years since I've been to Wrigley Field to see everything that's happening around there. But I went in 17, and I've been going to Wrigley since 1989, 88. I've been going to Wrigley. What's happened there, it's easy for John Angelos to take Wes Moore out there and run him around and say, hey, we can do this. Let's do this. Give me the money. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. You saw it in play. They're serious out there about making money in the North Side, aren't they?
I mean, it was nice. First of all, it was a perfect day, 75 degrees. I hadn't been there for a baseball game in decades.
Which game did you go to?
I went to the second game. We lost by a run. Yeah, we lost by one run. And
your dog's fine on the air. I believe me, I've had dogs all week. If you're quarantined with your dog and your dog barks, we're gonna live through this.
Okay, you got it. You saw the panic in my face, but fine. It's all good. Yeah, it's inevitable. A yodel or scream of barking is gonna.
That's fine. You got dogs. What kind of dog you have?
I have mine is a small little Cavachon, they call it, but he's like a retriever, athletic. And then I got a golden doodle that's at the door about to bark.
They don't play pickleball.
Neither pet. They don't have opposable thumbs, so they can't hold the racket.
It'll fetch. All right. Yeah. Good enough.
Anyway, so
you went to Chicago and
that was awesome. So we took a Uber, stopped blocks away. So I was just in the regular neighborhood.
You didn't go to my pizza joint. You didn't take my advice, did you?
Oh, I didn't have time.
Game on you.
Next time.
For anybody, Chicago. I lived in Chicago for a couple years on and off, right? Pequod, P-E-Q-U-O-D. And just saying it to you again makes me want to get on a plane and find some stupid reason to go to Chicago just to get it.
Well, not that you needed the affirmation, but my son's a bit of a foodie, and he, of course, corroborated that spot is for real. So we'll have to add it to the
list. Sausage, get the beer. It's all good.
But anyway, four sides, we have our, pickles and, four bars side by side, which I think is awesome. And I love the vibe.
They have the Cubby Bear still there. I drank at the Cubby Bear.
Yeah, they have, serious, rooftop deck.
It's a serious bar scene. It's the most serious neighborhood bar scene you will ever see in your life anywhere in the world. And I mean that. Yeah. Like around a sporting event, there's nothing like it in soccer. There's nothing like it. It's certainly in this country where the tailgate doesn't exist because there is no parking. There are only bars and a McDonald's.
Well, for those people who aren't familiar, there's a town. It's Wrigleyville is the name of the area. Imagine Camdenville, where beyond just those four bars.
Oh, man, you're sounding like John Angelos with his feet up on Westmore's desk. Holy hell. Listen to you. Camdenville. Holy hell. You come up with something.
If it happens, I
hey,
want.
Hey, dude, if they could turn, if they could make Baltimore Peninsula a thing, right. You know, we could turn Otterbein into Camdenville.
I've been getting involved with what's going on in the city. I don't think a lot of people know this, but there's a development that's in the works. I don't know if they've broken ground yet. From the casino, there's a road there. I don't know what the name of the road is, but the
road used to be where the Barks was and where the bus station was.
They're going and they're developing bars and nightclubs and a smaller concert venue, like a Hammerjack back in the day. Up all the way to rave to the M&T Bank Stadium.
Cincinnati has that. Cincinnati built literally bars that link the two stadiums.
Right.
So against that, the water. You know, it's a little more sexy, but they don't really use the water as well as they could. I mean,
right. So that's happening. You know, Port Covington's around that area, you know, and they're going to have, imagine have restaurants, bars, and things like that. I know what Angelos is looking for is the things directly, you know, connecting, you know, Pratt and Utah and all those.
Well, they were, I mean, come on. His old man was looking for the hotel, right?
Right.
The hotel space where I did the firewalk with Tony Robbins during the HF Festival that the Red Hot Chili Peppers played. Right. And Angelos never got that land. He, you know, he had Rosecroft. He was trying to get casinos and he was trying to build in Cuba, which is why he's the only American in our lifetime that went down and sat next to Fidel Castro. Think about that. Think about that. Went down and hung out with Castro for fun, for casinos, basically, to spread the American joy of baseball. But I mean, I was there. It was about Peter thinking he was going to be, was it the high, who's the guy from the 50s in Miami? What was his name?
Don't know.
Anyway, he was in all the movies. But nonetheless, the notion that the land around the stadium and what Pickles is, that the Orioles would love to put Pickles out of business and be Pickles.
Right.
Like that's Fenway Park. Fenway Park bought the alley, right? Lansdowne Street and all that area around there. They own all the concessions out in the alley because they bought all of that. The Orioles, one thing that Angelos, you talk about things Angelos has wrecked. My God, the list is including the Orioles, but I mean, completely destroyed the Sports Legends Museum. The whole concept of the Sports Legends Museum and the Jeppy Museum was that Peter hated them always because they were competitive to him and that he didn't own it and it wasn't his and he couldn't have it and it wasn't gifted to him as part of the Stadium Authority thing that happened before him. So, but he had the warehouse and the Camden Club and the bricks out on the walkway where Boog's Barbecue was supposed to be a 365 day a year pit beef stand that you could come down and park your car and bring the kids on Saturday and have a pit beef in February. Like literally, I was around. I worked at the paper then. I like was on the radio. Like what the vision for it was disappeared the minute Angelos bought the team. It was that until the All-Star game, Angelos bought the team. Then there was a strike, right? And then all of that went away because Angelos fired John Miller and John Lowenstein and people like Rick Vaughn, who was a guest on my show this week, disappeared. I mean, all the good people disappeared and all the good ideas went with them. And this is what we've had. I mean, yeah, literally the ideas of Peter Angelos and his wife and whatever you could get away with. And judging every paperclip, and I mean, that's who these people have been for 30 years. So there's been no progress. I mean, there really, I mean, other than them getting the state to pay for a deck to drink beer on in center field and having the state pay to move the fences back so that they could get better pitchers. And Elias went through all that last couple of years, but this is, we're not talking about adding an outfield deck or getting rid of the seats in left field and adding whatever the hell they would add up there to make money. We're talking about like the neighborhood, right? I mean, that's really what's at stake here. That's why John Angelos is flying Wes Moore to Atlanta. That's why. And Wes really offended me this week. And I'm going to tell him he offended me because politicians can offend me. I got a text from one of his vote, give me money people. And it was him wearing an Oriole jersey, saying he's sending the text with the same energy he brought to the Orioles game last week and asking me for money. And I'm thinking to myself, are you in the bag on this or are you going to negotiate for the, like, is Angelos, what's Angelos going to get? because the threat is Nashville, and the threat is there's no lease, and the team's winning, and I have a good team, and it's worth $1 billion, $2.5 billion probably. And what is the future? And the future is what you saw in Chicago, or at least in John Angelos's mind, right? Especially in regard to gambling.
Well, let me take a step back, because you just said something that I was not on the same page, but because I may have been mistaken. When I was in Wrigleyville, all of the it appeared to me the hotels, the restaurants, the bars, all the entertainment options were privately owned.
Some are not.
Okay, so
Tribune Company. Go back and look at the reputation of the Tribune Company in regard to owning the Cubs for 40 years, right? Like, just, I remember going out there 30 years ago with a buddy of mine to go to a game in the 90s. And I'll never forget this. I'm standing on the street and the facade's out there, and it was a dump. I mean, still kind of a dump. I mean, it's not, I don't love going to games there. I've been to a million games there. Fenway Park's equally uncomfortable, much better. It's not one of my favorite places, but been there many times and sat all over the stadium. But when I went there, it was the first time I felt a little weirdly scalped. So when I went up, this was their legitimate ticket thing on the window. This is before they started scalping their own tickets, other teams. They were the first team to really scalp their own tickets, because if you wanted to sit in the bleachers were more expensive than the box seats, because there was demand for them to be a bleacher bum. And the rep, like, literally when I went out there, the bleachers were $20 and the box seats were 18 and the upper decks were 12 or whatever the number was. It was more than that. I think it was $30 to sit in the bleachers when it was $8 to sit in the bleachers anywhere else in the league, because they were really, you want to sit there, you're going to pay a premium to go have the worst seat because it's the seat everybody wants. And the Cubs were the first people I saw do that. That being said, the last time I was out there, the things that I noticed was parking, garages, garage spaces, things stacking up on top of things that looked to be big money, not look to be the Cubby Bears people's money. And even that house across the street that everybody would rent out and sit when Sammy Sosa was doing that, pretty sure the Cubs own all that now. Pretty sure they do.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Well, is it your understanding, and if we don't know, we don't know, that what they've done in Atlanta, which I know is a thing, but I've not been there. So
it's a different kind of thing. The thing in Atlanta, that is more like, if you can envision when they got rid of Owings Mills Mall, when it was just done and they were trying to figure out this new Marriott and all the stuff they were doing, when it's just like, it can't be a mall anymore. Saks Fifth Avenue's gone. It's not a mall. It's a giant piece of land. It's at the end of a freeway. If you would consider that piece of land to be, I mean, honest to God, where the country club is at Woodholm next to 695. So if you Google map Atlanta and you see the northwest side and think of where Pikesville and Owings Mills would be, and take the piece of land where the Beltway meets, so it wouldn't really be Owings Mills. It's that kind of land, but 5 miles closer in at the Beltway. They literally have taken this giant white marsh, literally a white marsh, and made it the thing that the stadium is the mall, and everything around it, every restaurant, a community, dual purpose living, what is essentially at the Harris Teeter at Fort McHenry Row. That concept with a stadium around it and a lot more Iron Roosters and you know, Samos restaurants and Dunkin' Donuts, with a lot more of that in the community. And they have built it. You know what it is? It's Port Covington with a stadium. It's Port Covington with the baseball stadium in it. That's so what Atlanta is, but not in the city, in Pikesville.
But the Braves don't own 100% of the businesses. And
what the Braves did was, and they're, you know, they're corporately owned. It's not Ted Turner anymore, right? They put together a plan to steal away the franchise from Brandon Scott to Johnny O, right? They went from the city to the county. They pitted Stuart Pittman, Calvin Ball, Johnny O against Brandon Scott, right? to move the team out of Atlanta because there were, quite frankly, black people and no transportation, and all the rich white people wanted the team out in the suburbs. Facts. It's Atlanta. Look it up. And you follow their elections and their politics. But so they literally got the county to say, well, what the hell else are we going to do with White Marsh or Owings Mills? Well, you know, what else are we going to build here? Let's build a stadium. Let's give it away. And let's build – everybody will want to live here. They'll be competitive. Delta will put its name on the stadium. And there, Atlanta's a real place now. I mean, it's not Cincinnati. It's not Baltimore. It's – I mean, we're talking about a place with a lot of money and a lot of people and a lot of spread and a lot of economic potential by moving it out to the county. And that's what they did, and they built a – I mean, if you go in and Google map it and just see what's around it, how many Buffalo Wild Wings and like, you know, where it's done, where you can get in the car and drive. You and I can go down there right now. We will go down there to see Billy Joel or Bruce Springsteen. The Nats Park. Have you been down there lately?
I have.
That's what John Angelos wants to make Camden Yards a centerpiece of, which is a whole bunch of new buildings and new things. But I would think John Angelos's real concern here has to be the gambling money and how that, I mean, that's the Cubs, right? Everything I saw out of Chicago this weekend was, let's see our new betting parlor. Right. You know, I mean, that's where the money is, but where the shake is in the jobs, living, housing, movie theater. There'll be people here on a Tuesday night in February, not watching our games from spring training on television because we don't put them on in the casino, but you can gamble on them. So maybe he'll have them on now. I'm being a jerk, but I'm not. I mean, like, I've been to all these places. I've seen all these things. You saw Chicago, you see DC, and then you come to Camden Yards and there's sort of Pickles Pub and some things that used to be available. Right. I mean, like that's literally, and we were a tailgating city historically for football, but not for baseball.
Right. Well, so I'm asking you questions like, you know, I think you're definitely much more positioned to know the answers to these. If you don't know them, you don't know them.
I don't know them. I'm here to get them. That's what I do.
You just told me about Atlanta, I didn't know. So when the governor is going with Angelos to see what they've done in Atlanta, it's not to move the stadium out to the suburbs. It's to see what they've done around them with the goal of keeping Camden Yards where it is, but building around it. Correct? Is that your understanding?
Oh, well, utilizing the space around there to make it more of a venue destination. Okay. But if you look, it's called Cumberland, Georgia. It literally, the perimeter is their beltway. It's what their beltway is called, the perimeter. It's at the perimeter and Interstate 75 flowing northwest to Marietta, which is a very well-placed, you know, the money in Atlanta is to the north and to the west. And so they, Truist Park is the name of it. There's an Omni Hotel there at the Battery. There's a Yard House. There's a Superica Tex-Mex, El Superpan Latino Kitchen Bar, Wahlburgers. There's a Fa East Asian. There's a Jenny Splendid Ice Creams. There's a Mac McGee. There's a Burn by Rocky Patel. There's an Escape Game Atlanta. There's parking lots. There's an Antico Pizza at the Battery Park. There's a hamburger joint. And there's living space. There's an Indian restaurant. There's a Dunkin' Donuts. There's tons of places you can live in this community and work and play in this community while you walk to the game. In Owings Mills, right? Not in Camdenville.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I just on my other screen, I pulled up Google Earth and I'm looking at Camden Yards and I'm looking at the possible real estate that's available to develop. I mean,
it's a parking lot.
There's a parking lot. There's also, there's eminent domain. There's, you know, South Packer Street and Iceland Street and, you know, between Washington Boulevard and the highway. I mean, you're going to take that over. I mean, where is it? There's a hospital. You're not going to remove that. There's a convention center. You're not going to remove that. Where are you putting all this stuff?
Hey man, a dream's a dream.
You know, I mean, that's where I'm.
Well, if you're John Angelos, no offense to John Angelos here. And I'm not even being, you know, purgative. I mean, he's going to try to get it, whatever he can get, whatever his idea is. He hasn't pitched his idea to me. He hasn't come on the air with me and sat here with me and you and said, hey, so you want tax people's money? Tell us what awesome thing. Give us your awesome idea. What is your awesome idea, dude? Like, I've been to these places. I mean, he treated Dan Connolly like dirt. Like, he's going to speak to me like I haven't been to 30 stadiums in 30 days. Imagine that. Imagine that, right? So, like, I've been to all these places. I've seen the promise. Hey, Mike, I'll share a little dirty secret with you. Something I probably have never said on the air. I lost a lot of money on a real estate investment 15 years ago, right? When the market crashed, bad things happened, the radio station, this, that, right? My wife and I were looking to buy in another place, buy a second home, right? We wound up buying some place that in Vegas and we shouldn't have, and it was bad and whatever. But we looked to buy in San Diego. And the reason we looked to buy in San Diego is you've been there? And where we looked to buy was in the ballpark community. Because we thought rental, be there, city, the things we like, it was coming on. The Padres now have invested big time, Machado, these players, right, to make it. They don't have a television network, crazy enough. But if you've been to San Diego and seen that stadium was the anchor to get everything else done around it, right? Like, I mean, there are dozens of high-rise buildings that came because the Padres stayed in San Diego and wound up at Petco Park, which was a corrupt operation. They had to shut the construction down. They had all sorts of Sopranos-ish going on. Google it. There was, it's what led to the Chargers leaving. They lost all confidence in all the politics for sports there. It's how the Chargers left because the Padres' move was so filthy and how it went down. But that being said, if you fly to San Diego right now, which I almost did a couple weeks ago, you'll go to downtown San Diego and you will see this very mature neighborhood with pretty girls and beachy boys and dogs walking through. You're probably also going to see places where the condos that they wanted 600 grand from me then are still worth 580, because I don't think with 9.5% tax in California, I can go all Republican on you here and, you know, piss on California and all that. But I don't know that it would have been a better or worse investment in any way than anything else that was a bad investment in 2008 when the market crashed in 2009, right? And money went away. But that being said, they built that to be that. And look, if I own the team, or if John Angelos employed me to say, take Wes Moore around and show him what we could do here, I could take them to these places. But to your point, until we fix crime in the city, and that's what John Angelos is going to say if he threatens to move the team, until we fix crime in the city, nobody's going to come to my ballpark. And that was the issue in Atlanta. I mean, it wasn't pitched as racist, but it was friggin' way racist in Atlanta, where 50 years later, they're still getting over Hank Aaron's color. They moved the team to where the white people were in Atlanta. That's literally what they did. So I don't think that's an option here. I don't, but nothing's off the table. It's he sued his brother in open. I mean, he lied to the media the one time he came out of his turtle shell on Martin Luther King Day and tried to use it as a deflection to answer legitimate questions at a legitimate press conference. So we're not dealing with a man of integrity here or a family of integrity here. We're dealing with what we're dealing with. Now, that being said, he's dealing with what he's dealing with, which are these challenges you have on a Google map of, now, what do you want, and how are we going to do, and what is your vision, and how am I as Wes Moore going to sell this to the people of Baltimore other than with an Oriole jersey on, and I kept the team here, made a lousy deal with lousy people, but I kept the team here. And so that's where we are now, right, based on this is part two of last week, you and me, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, we've had an offline discussion following up our last week conversation, and I remember I was struggling for whatever reason thinking that I thought I heard that June, July was a pretty significant date.
I've heard three people say that now, because apparently it was spoken out loud when Angelos came out of the closet with Lockenfora and sat in at 105.7 because he felt safe, that he would get safe questions there. I mean, if John Angelos, somebody significant in the community came to me and said he wanted to try to fix this, and I'm like, it's fixed when John Angelos front faces and sits with me and Luke Jones and answers questions about his baseball team and does it once or twice a year, or once or twice every 5 years, and people in the community know who he is. I had Rick Vaughn on this week. Mike, I love you, man. You love the Orioles. You love sports. Go watch the Rick Vaughn piece. Rick Vaughn was the architect of the Field of Dreams last day in 91. He was the PR director for the Orioles from 1984 to 1994. 5 when Angelos chased him off. He was all the All-Star game, all of Camden Yards opening, all Memorial Stadium closing, all of 1988, all of 1989. He was there when Harnish stepped on the nail. You know, like all of that stuff that happened, he was there for all of it and helped build all of this, and then left and went to Tampa, and then came back and sat in the press box in the stadium he dreamed about, seeing it wither for 20 years while he's trying to sell baseball to people in Tampa who don't want it. And we talked at length about what made the Orioles the Orioles. And it was people like him. It was people like Larry Lucchino, who was from Pittsburgh, but came here and knew every executive in Baltimore, knew every season ticket holder behind home plate, made himself available, made his executives available, because they were trying to keep the team here against all the rumors that the owner wanted to move the team to DC. And Larry was trying to get this friggin' thing built after the Colts left, and trying to get money, begging Annapolis to give us money to make this happen, make it a reality. And to see what's happened to that dream is gross. It's gross that I lost $250,000 investing in a downtown condo, like for 20 years in the middle of all of this, right? That was 2 blocks from the ballpark with this view. It's gross. And it's gross that they've done nothing but print hundreds of millions of dollars every year off the TV deal. Apparently, in the middle of the night on Tuesday, they came to terms with the Nationals on $99 million from 12 to 16 of the TV money. I mean, the Nationals haven't been paid for 2012's TV money. Neither have the Orioles, because the Masson, the Angelos family is Masson. The Angelos family has restricted, tourniqueted money to their own baseball franchise to punish the Nationals. And that's been going on for 15 years. That's a fact. So, like, it's been so poorly run that for Wes Moore to be putting the Orioles shirt on and run around looking for votes and running down to Atlanta, that's great. That's great. But what's the deal going to be? And how is that better or different than the Red Line, or than investing money in making the Inner Harbor better? We use that 365 days a year. Let's make a Disney World over there. Put $600 million into that. Let the baseball team go pound sand and run off to Nashville. We'll go get another one that actually wants to come in here and build it. Charge PSLs like the Ravens did. You know, I mean, like, literally, I don't know what else there is to say, but what can be public confidence in John Angelos? How can there be any? And he's about to go take our money and then maybe sell the team, whatever he's going to do to make, or maybe stick around. That might even be worse. But we should be asking serious questions of these sports franchises, and especially from the guy who's been thrown out by both of them. It's sick. I'm not asking unfair questions. It's my money too.
Yeah. Well, look, we talked about that last week, is, you know, the debate about what is the best use of public money. Is it really to give to billionaires for their ballparks?
But I've espoused that for 30 years, by the way, Mike. Read my work. I was always about, this is the greatest thing for Baltimore that we have these teams. Yeah, it's great when they're not owned by guys on yachts who act like dicks and roll in and say they're doing something and write $1 million to, you know, an African-American charity and say that they've done something when they don't live here and they're not a part of here. And they roll out a Baltimore jersey with a Nike swoosh on it, where I'm thinking to myself, well, I wonder what the Under Armour people think 2 blocks away about that. You know, like, right. I mean, there's just things about being local and being community oriented. I mean, how many people have met TJ Brightman? How many people have met Mike Elias? How many people have met Brandon Hyde? How many people are going to meet Adley Rutschman that don't stand in line and pay $100 to do it? Like, I'm we're at a crossroads here. They're getting a lot of money and they're doing less than they've ever done. I mean, And there's less expectation on them, to your point. I'm the only guy bitching. Put BAL on. Put anything on. We're just going to do this. Wes Moore's just going to do this because he has to do it.
Right. Well, look, I sent you a link to look at the renderings of what's going on. I think they're calling it the Warner Street District. It's literally Warner Street from the Maryland Live Casino all the way up to M&T Bank Stadium.
Whoever's advocating this should be coming on my show and pimping it. I'd be happy to let them say whatever they're going to say about this and that and the other, but I live here. And I would have some serious, I live downtown. I invested in downtown. I lost my ass investing in downtown because of these people. and how poorly it's been run and how poorly the politicians have run it. And that's why I'm doing Baltimore Positive, is to say, how are we going to lift this? How is John Angelos going to take civic money and make this better?
Right. Well, let me ask you one question.
Other than stinking and getting good ball players for a couple of years for stinking.
I think we would agree that the attendance for the games, despite how well the Orioles are playing, it's not where I would expect it. And I'm wondering, in your opinion, what part of that is apathy towards either the owner, or they pissed these people off so long.
I won't give them money. That's just my sort of. Every time I reach for my credit card, I mean, I did it on opening day. Friend brought me in, and I was even thirsty for a beer. But it's fundamental to me. It's not, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm telling everybody to go. I've been telling everybody to go. I'm not. I'm abstaining because they're liars. They offered to open the books to the media. They've thrown me out of the media and letting my white employee go in and having me stand out and saying I'm not legitimate. I'm not legitimate because I ask real questions. Like what? Like it's insane. It's insane that it should be tolerated.
I think you may have answered the question. I was going to contrast that to the people who are just would want to go but don't feel safe.
Or that it costs a lot of money to go.
Right.
Right. So I'll give you an example. I had Neil Solons on this week. Okay. You can find this at Baltimore Positive under the Rays logo. Neil's been a friend of mine. And by the way, Neil's a beautiful man. Neil saved his sister's life with bone marrow. She had a rare blood cancer like my wife. So I love Neil. Neil had been sort of the Rob Long pre and post game guy. And now he does games and he travels with the team. He's at San Diego. He came on and he's been with the Rays for, a number of years. And they're always trying to sell tickets down there. Right. And put the Tampa game on. It's not a thing, and it should be a thing, and they're good. And they've never had a Boog Pal, right? They've never had a Cal Ripken. They had Joe Maddon, and they've had winners. I'm Facebook friends with him, and he did the show. So he shows up on Facebook, cause that's how this works. Right. So he shows up, he has an offer on his Facebook for $5 tickets for Tuesday night's game, that because you're friends with him on Facebook, there's a link. And he's the team broadcaster, and there are people that follow him. But if you wanted to go to the game tonight and be a friend of Neil, you click on the button, and there's a special thing because it's Tuesday night, and the place is friggin' empty, and we're playing the Orioles. And they got all the Orioles fans down there, and they're cheering on their feet in the ninth inning, and we're 30 games over 500 for the 10th year in a row. And we're, you know what I mean? Like, they're trying. I don't know. Nobody's offered me a chance to go to the Orioles game. Nobody from the front office has called me. Here's the last time I dealt with the Orioles. I sent them a letter and said, Matt, Greg, my wife's had cancer. She's almost died. Guy in Germany saved her life. We're doing a baseball tour. I'm doing 30 ballparks in 30 days, and I'm starting the tour at Camden Yards. You want to make nice? Let us in? No. We had to do our swabbing at the Sports Legends Museum that was about to be shuttered by Angelos' greed and avarice. And then my wife and I, somebody gave us two tickets. We sat behind home plate. She ran into, the first person she ran into that night was one of the primary nurses that saved her life. And he was wearing an Oriole Hawaiian shirt, and they took pictures crying. So my last endeavor with the Orioles was, I'm going to 30 ballparks in 30 days. Will you let me in? No. And they made sure, they called the Nationals and made sure I didn't get into the Nationals park too. The woman PR lady from the Nationals met me at the press gate and threw me out onto the street. At Nats Park, in the middle of a charity tour, where I was welcomed in to throw the first pitch in Tampa with my wife. We were honored on the field in Boston by the Wally, the wall man. And, we swabbed we probably swabbed 500 people at Fenway Park that day because my wife had family down. My experience has been they're not good people. Now, until I see something different, my experience with TJ Brightman has not been a very good person toward me. Now, that being said, if they want me back, call me. I leave my media pass at the will call, and the day that Luke has to cover practice in August, and because Chad Steele's treating me this way, the day that we need coverage, I'll cover the Oriole game. I'll get on a cover a game. I'll work the locker room. I did that all my life. I'm a professional. Right. I built a radio station. I built a business. I built a life doing that. So, that's my spiel with the Orioles. But I'm watching them every night that they let me. I couldn't watch them Sunday. They gave me the bird, Peacock, right? So, but And my friend, my dear friend, Jeff Amter. Do you ever go to Skipjack games?
No.
Clippers. Oh, you did Clippers.
I'm old. I went to the Clippers.
Jeff might have done this at the Clippers games in the 70s, too. Do you remember a guy with a fireman's hat that would run up and down the stands? Clippers
vaguely.
On a Warpath, go. Skippers on a Warpath, go. That's Jeff. Jeff's a lifer Oriole fan, lifer sports fan. He had a fall a couple weeks ago. He's been in the hospital. And he's cranky. And, you know, they're not letting him out. And he's old and cranky. He's an old school teacher. He's a beautiful guy. And he can't get the games because they're on Madison, too. So he's in the hospital wanting to watch the Orioles. And he can't because Angelos is greedy enough to have three networks and put nothing on any of them. I mean, it's and not paying the Nationals even for what he did. I mean, like, this shit's insane. I mean, like, and now we're going to give him more money, and Wes is wearing the Orioles shirt, and like, whatever we're going to give him, we're going to get. It's my understanding they can't really give him more than they gave Bisciotti in regard to the stadium authority, but it's also my understanding he can do whatever he wants with the franchise, too. It's his franchise, and there's no lease, and who knows what threats or obligations or perceived obligations there are. All I know is, you know, Wes Moore sending me pictures asking for, I love Wes, but sending me picture wearing an Orioles shirt and telling me I'm going to have confidence in what you're doing in regard to negotiating on behalf of the community in regard to the Orioles and their track record. I don't have a lot of confidence. I don't have any confidence in Bisciotti at this point, just for throwing me out because he's afraid of a couple of questions. I mean, that, and he hasn't shown up in any capacity locally here in so long that it's not even, he didn't even show up in Annapolis to take the check. He sent Sashi Brown and Chad Steele down there, and Chad Steele waved off legitimate journalists like Pam Wood, who were there to ask questions about the money. They didn't want any questions about the money. They issued a one paragraph press release, and all of a sudden it's Lamar. And how's the defense looking? And that's the way they want it. And that's, it's unfortunate because they both could be doing so much more in the community. They really could. They both could do more. They both should do more, really.
Because of what you do for a living, you obviously have experiences that fans like me never would. I'm just wondering, look, I don't mind an owner who realizes that it's not about him or her. It's about the team. And while I would like them to be available to answer questions, I would take a lack of that in exchange for someone who always talks, like,
or they have competent people that run it. Whether Dick Cass was competent or not, he had no integrity in the end. I promise you that. I dealt with Dick Cass in the end. Dick Cass treated me with zero integrity in the end after a lifetime, a career of being front-facing in his job. And there was a perception that there was a grown-up out there running it. I had that perception until I found that there wasn't. My perception was there was a grown-up running it, which is why I, at some point, my story will be told. And it's lurid. What's happened to me is lurid. It's terrible. And it will be made public. But there was a person there. Dick Cass was a person people in this town knew. They knew what he looked like. He was out in the community. He stood with fans. I saw him do things as a media member, just being out there, greeting fans, talking to fans, always being open with his office to me to come in and ask him about the TV deal, the stadium deal, whether we were getting a World Cup here, whether we were getting a soccer game, whether Bruce Springsteen was really playing the stadium. I didn't ask him about the deep. I never talked football with Dick. I talked about what quartile and profit they were in the league and what the new TV revenue deal was going to be like and collective bargaining and what the union wanted and how it all worked. And he was always the smartest guy in the room. He could have been the commissioner. He would have had a lot of support to be the commissioner if he wanted to be the commissioner. He didn't want to be famous for all the reasons that Goodell's a cartoon character, right? Dick did not want that gig, but Dick could have been commissioner.
Right.
Dick's forgotten more about the league than anybody, which was why it was nauseating to have him sit there and say to me, do you want to be a fan or do you want to sit in the press box? Why don't you just go sit in the stands and not be a media member? That's what he said to me. I'm like,
Well,
why don't you not be a team president? You know, why don't you go back to D.C. where you lived the whole time anyway and you never lived here? But that being said, he was feet on the street. He was here. He didn't live here. But they got a sales guy that has a Wyoming driver's license. I mean, like, they feed on the street. Rick Vaughn, go listen to Rick Vaughn. Go listen to Charles Steinberg. Go listen to Marty Conway. Listen to the people who built the Orioles. Listen to me as one of the people who built the Ravens. I was important in building the Ravens. Kevin Byrne would tell you that. Baker Copham would tell you that. David Modell would tell you that. Art Modell would tell you that. Brian Billick would tell you that. People would tell you that. That
I'll tell
selling
you that.
Tickets, selling tickets and being a part of feet on the street and bringing Tim Goat out to the barn and bringing Ray Lewis out to the barn and bringing Ed Sutter out to the barn. And right. That mattered. And that still matters. And the Orioles are going to have to get after that at some point. And you're saying, hey, there aren't as many people as you expect. Well, you know what you need to do, Mike? You need to lower your expectations, pal. You're in Baltimore, okay? Lower your expectations for what you expect from the Angelos family or what you expect from the Bisciotti family. Lower your bar. Because that's what I've had to do, right? Your bar.
I started to say you have experience because of what you do for a living that I don't. I am typically a half full guy. And what I was going to say is my impression of Peter Angelos was not positive, as it probably wasn't with most people. I have limited experience with his son and being a half full guy. And we talked about this last.
Well, you have limited experience with his son because he wants to have limited experience with you.
But
he doesn't live here.
That's okay as long as, let me finish.
From somebody else is running it.
As long as the people who know how to run it are running it, like Mike Elias, and, you know, and he's not making baseball decisions and he's not saying, hey, let's sign, you know, let's not trade this player because I like him versus what he can bring back. Or let's give Chris Davis everything he wants because he just hit a lot of home runs and put the baseball team in a bad situation. The only thing I know about the son, and I'm sure this wasn't his desire, is the ugliness with his mom and his brother, which is not good. That the one press conference that I did see, he did promise to open the books and was shocked that how dare the press ask him a question when he's finally available during a Martin Luther King Day. Negative impression. But with that said, I see what he's done with Elias. I've seen what he's done with making an investment in the Caribbean and Central America and trying to improve the team. I see the team is improved because the blueprint has been followed. I see that it doesn't appear that there's a lot of meddling going on like his dad did. So I'm going to remain half full until July and the All-Star break comes if I don't hear anything. At that point, I'm going to get even more nervous than I am now.
I don't think the team's moving, right? I just think there's this threat that's going to cause him to get as much as he can get, to get what he wants. I don't know what he wants. I mean, that's what we started this conversation, is he's asking the people of Maryland and the people of Baltimore for something, for nothing. And
if I always do this, I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting what these owners do to cities. However, if I was an owner of a team, would it be malpractice if I didn't do what?
There's no question. Everything in his arsenal is a threat. And don't think he's not watching this Oakland thing, right? Because if you can pirate a team away and legally get away, I mean, it's Al Davis begat everything that ever happened, right? Davis moving the Raiders and putting a middle finger up for the NFL and standing up for 10 years with lawyers begat the Ravens even happening and the Colts ever leaving, right? Like, the Colts left because the Raiders left, and period. Eminent domain, my ass, right? I lived through all that. I was a reporter during a real reporter. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is our chief digital officer. And, you know, for all of our intelligent conversations, our partners, our sponsors, the people we have on the air, it's a little bit of a slower time of the year right now with the Ravens going away. But taking a deep dive into the future of these franchises and who will own them and what they will be and what they were promised to be, not just we're going to win games, what the civic responsibility is. We used to talk about these things as civic trust. Remember that? No more. I mean, it's Steve's team and it's John's team, and they can move it to Frankfurt, Germany if they want to, or if Steve wants to take the deal and stay put because he wants to sell the team and it makes it better for him and it's more quiet for him. Steve likes quiet. So, you know, it's much more quiet to just take Larry's money and say, I'm not going to be the prick coming in and saying, I'm moving the team. Let John do that. Let John deal with Wes, because John wants to build a city, because that's what Wrigleyville is, and that's what Atlanta is, and that's what San Diego is, and that's what he needs to have his betting emporium to make his baseball team profitable. Especially, I mean, look, man, John Angelos, when he was 15 years younger, thought his bed was made on that television deal. They thought that was forever. It's dried up now. It's 20 years they've been stealing money. They haven't even paid their partner for the money that they've been taking from all of us, from our cable bill, and that is dried up. So from streams of revenue for the team, first things first, dude, you talk about their investment in the Caribbean. And I mean, fundamentally, the old man never understood baseball. He just never understood baseball at all, right? So fundamentally, the kid is at least understanding that, like, you can serve hamburger and not steak, but you can't serve dog food. And serving dog food out there for years has devalued the brand. And now seeing better baseball from their awfulness. I mean, you only get one ones. You only get Adley Rutschman because you stink bad for long stretches of time.
Right.
And I mean, that's a fact. That you only get all these guys because of that. Holidays coming, I'll hear all of that, but you gotta stink. Indianapolis Colts stunk to get all those number one picks. I remember that. And we don't equate the Orioles with that, but the Orioles are worse, and they're run by whomever, right? So John now wants to take the reins and run the team and do all of this. With that comes the responsibility of answering questions from people like me, whether you want it rhetorically or not. If you don't sit here, you can go over to 105.7 and run tail between your legs trying to find bunkies in the media who will, you know, wear the bird head for you, including the governor, who's willing to do that. That's fine. But then you're going to get all this money, and there's going to be all this promise, which Camden Yards promised. Boog's Barbecue around the year. Camden Club was going to be the place to have dinner, and it was going to be this and that and the other. And then just blame it on crime 30 years later because your old man screwed it up. And
right.
I crime did not destroy the Orioles. Come on, stop. I live downtown. That's the Peter Angelos destroyed the Orioles. There's, you know, literally it would really, when I think back and I had Rick Vaughn on and all the work that was done and 3.5 million people. And this was our gateway arch, right? I mean, this was our thing. And I think to myself, no one else could have possibly screwed this up this badly, over the course of time, and opened the door for the Ravens to be the Ravens and take all the money and have all the purple flamingos on the lawn and all that stuff. But now we're at this point where, you know, the Ravens felt a little desperate in giving Lamar the money, and, you know, that's fine and it's good. And they're going to roll them out the next couple, 3 years and see if they can win. And it's in a tough league right now. But the baseball team has all of this blue sky with the 3 or 4 years of all of these guys cheap and how they're going to manage it all and how they're going to position this deal to the public and what the promise is going to be of Camdenville. I love Camdenville. God, you gave that to me. It's such a gift. God, I love you for that.
It's memorialized now, so if they use it, I want my royalties.
Oh, you're like the guy who invented the bee on the helmet that sued David Modell?
I didn't hear that story, but oh, that one. Yeah, no, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll lease it to them for a period of time. But anyway,
hey, are you going to a game anytime soon? I mean, am I going? Are we going to a game? What are we doing?
Which I'd love to.
My wife started asking me, like, when are we going? Who, all right, we're home all summer. Don't have any concerts on the calendar right now. It's really quiet after this Cure and Shania Twain this week.
Well, we know that Tommy Conwell's coming to Dewey Beach.
By the way, Chris Day from Tommy Conwell's band friended me on Facebook yesterday and asked when he's coming on the show. So I'm going to get Chris Day on the program. We're going to talk about the Chris Day band and Tommy Conwell and Dewey Beach. And
sounds good.
Hammerjacks.
Good stuff, man.
All right. Tell me what you do. You're an outsourced chief digital officer. Nobody knows what the hell that is.
I know. It took me months to explain it to you, and we were working together.
So now you got 30 seconds. Go.
Look, I'll just say it this way. If you're a small to mid-sized business owner, you see your competitors showing up online. You see them coming on search engines. You see them on social media. You know that they're growing and they're killing it, and you're not, because you don't have a visionary, a leader to come in, learn your business, and figure out which tools to use to grow your business. That's what we do. I mean, I could talk about all the individual tactics that we do to do that. Everything's custom based on what the client's business is, but we do this on a fractional basis, designed to make it affordable to small to mid-sized businesses so they can compete. That's what we are. We're Web Connection Outsourced Chief Digital Officers.
Easy enough. Go to Web Connection. You can find him out on the social media vines and always his beautiful face on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. Luke is out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. We got a lot of stuff. Summertime, I'm doing the Crab Cake Tour. I'm at Spirits West this week over Wilkins Avenue. Everybody's raved about the Crab Cake there. I'm looking forward to it. Chris Pike is looking forward to wearing his Mount St. Joe Gales gear out in his old homestead with me on Thursday. Chad Wiesling's going to, you're going to like this, Mike. Chad is a local NFL agent, friend of mine. He's a Terp. He a Terp back in the day. Krivak Terp. He's been a longtime agent in Canton. He is the agent for Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Raiders. And, you know, all of the running backs are getting screwed. Dennis and I have talked about it. Luke and I have talked about it. So Chad's going to join me talking about what it's like to be an agent for the number one running back in the league and maybe give Jake Dobbins a little bit of advice as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It's summertime. Eat some gold watermelon. I have a promised peach cake for my 25th anniversary at Costas on August 3rd. We're going to make that happen. Stay with us.